This is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Time to sign the friendship registers, and we've got a couple things happening today. We are trying to
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Curtis Holtlob will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture readings from Romans 5:10, 8-10. Christ, for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven. Our worship this morning will be setting 1 on page 154. Let us now join the congregation in singing hymn 920, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation.
Oh,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
To his people on earth.
Glory to God in the highest The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people the confidence that comes from your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, living and dying and rising for us, for the forgiveness of sins confessed in Wells for the last 175 years, that it be our clear message until he comes in glory to reign with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for our first lesson. As we celebrate 175 years of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, we start reading from Genesis chapter 3 to remind us of where we've come from. This is part of the fall into sin. They, Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord who was walking around in the garden during the cooler part of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" The man said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate it." The Lord God said to the woman, "What have you done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the livestock and more than every wild animal. You shall crawl on your belly, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head, and you will crush his heel." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I believe we're going to do something special with the psalm to introduce it. The first two lines will be sung by you. First four lines will be sung by you. But you may join in on the refrain when you're able.
Forever. Amen. Oh, how
excuse me. Please rise for the gospel acclamation. Again, the cantor will lead us in it. We will repeat it. Our gospel lesson is found in John chapter 1, starting at verse 9. Here is the one who would bring real light into the world. That was the promise that was given to Adam and Eve when God cursed the serpent. And now we get to see who he is. The Word became flesh. We read in John chapter 1. The real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And the world was made through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to what was his own, yet his own people did not accept him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of blood or of the desire of the flesh or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. We have seen his glory, the glory he has as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for a wonderful anniversary song, O God, our help in ages past.
God's grace and peace be unto you through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is for us. This evening we meditate on an appointed reading from Romans chapter 5, where we begin at verse 8. But God shows his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have now been justified by his blood, it is even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, it is even more certain that since we have been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. And not only is this so, but we also go on rejoicing confidently in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received this reconciliation. The word of the Lord. Dear Christian friends, what do you think about phone solicitation? Does it make a difference if it is a call to contribute towards a worthy cause instead of just being simply a commercial sales pitch? I have sympathy for appeals to support our police and firemen, also those calls that contribute for research to cure a disease or to help those afflicted with some malady. But when professional solicitors are involved, a large percentage goes to the company contracted to do the calling. So my wife and I agree we will not participate in phone solicitation. And when there is a national or international crisis or tragedy, we do have our own Synod Christian Aid and Relief, through which we can fulfill those impulses to help out. On one occasion, quite some while back, the phone rang at the most inopportune time. I was doing something really important, like maybe listening to a Packer game. And I usually try to bend over backwards to be polite in my deferral from contributing. But when the pleasant voice on the other end of the line started, "Hello, I'm calling about cancer." Actually, she said, "I'm calling for cancer." And simply and abruptly, I replied, "Sorry, my wife and I are both against cancer." For the most part, it's nice to be for something instead of so often against something, right? You know, we're pro-life, we're pro-family, we're pro-St. John's, and these weeks we're celebrating especially about being pro-Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Years ago, I even had my own t-shirt made up. It has the Wells seal on it. Those words I don't expect to be able to read from where you are. The words simply state, "When you say Wisconsin, you said it all." You're close enough to Madison, right? You know where that comes from. The band likes to play that, the old Budweiser melody from years back. Yeah. There comes times, however, when we just need someone to be for us, for you, and for me. It does our self-image a tremendous amount of good. And more importantly, it might well deliver in a special need or personal crisis that you or I are experiencing. How about our greatest spiritual need? This evening, I'd like to address the eternal crisis which each and every human being faces without Christ. Apart from our solicitation, in fact, with our wanting nothing to do with and no help from God Christ for us and for our salvation came down from heaven. It's just what we desperately needed, as we confess in that Nicene Creed, which we confess twice monthly. And may our meditation this evening help us to greater appreciate that statement that we make, Christ for us. Our Old Testament lesson read earlier here addressed the first human realization of mankind's natural spiritual crisis. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, committed the world's first sin. They disobeyed God's directive not to eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. I know the question arises, maybe sometimes in our own minds from time to time, why such a big deal about eating forbidden fruit from one lousy tree? Well, Adam and Eve had the run of the rest of the entire Garden of Eden and the whole world beyond. Still, why did God have to place a tree right there in the middle of the garden just to tempt them? Luther explains that that's not the reason the Lord gave them that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, that tree in the garden was the altar at which Adam and Eve worshiped their Lord. Think about that for a moment. Yeah. Adam and Eve's obedience not to eat was a wonderful way for them to express their love for and faithfulness to God. And they blew it. And no sooner than deed done, they knew it. Their eyes were opened. They had known everything good and only everything good before. Now they knew evil. They had experienced committing it themselves. And so, yeah, they had the knowledge, a real knowledge of good and evil. And they were filled with shame in their sin nakedness before God. They tried to hide their leaf-covered bodies among the trees in the garden when he came in that cool evening, as he seems to have done day by day those first times. And the Lord lovingly confronted them. Where are you? Where are you? Yes. And they come back with, instead of fessing what they had done, Adam throws his wife under the bus, saying, the woman you gave me. He even blames God. And Eve lamely tries to pass the buck on the devil. He tempted me and I ate. They had been caught dead in their sin and were now dead toward God. Their fate was eternal death, forever separation from a holy, perfect, righteous being that they no longer were, and separate from the blessings that he had for them, laid out before them in his perfect world. But sinners that they were, God had compassion on his beloved human creatures. Their Creator held out to them the promise of a Savior whom he would designate, anoint to undo the mess that they had created. In their hearing, God addresses Satan. Satan, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He's going to crush your head, even if you do crush his heel. And God kept his word of promise. The Apostle John in our gospel lesson tonight spoke to the promise's fulfillment in profound and striking expression when he writes, The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yeah, you and I, along with John, see that full glory of Christ in his dying under the weight of our sins, while we were counted among the ungodly. Paul writes in our Romans text, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We needed to have Christ for us because by nature we're weak, sinful enemies of God, as Paul addresses in the context of our reading from the epistle. But now we're reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection were not for his own benefit, but specifically for humanity's salvation. Jesus of Nazareth lived, died on behalf of sinners. His death was a substitutionary act of atonement for our sins. And that phrase in the Nicene Creed then, for us, understates the importance that he had to do that for us, because there's the reality that salvation is entirely a gift granted by God through Christ's action, and it's not earned by human effort or merit. Christ for us is central to the Bible's explanation of justification, where sinners are declared righteous before God solely on the basis of Christ's work, received through Holy Spirit worked faith. Christ's vicarious suffering and resurrection assure Christian that God's wrath against sin has been fully satisfied, because through faith we are reconciled to God and again able to walk in peace and love with our Creator for time and for eternity. And all because of God's love for us. You know, in our English language, we are people who have widely varying levels of attachment and expression with the verb love. You know, we love God. Hopefully that's the greatest love, huh? We love our spouse. We love our family and friends. We love our animals. I know a lot of people in Baraboo do, right here along with every other town. There's all those stickers on the back of their car. I love my pet, whatever that might be. Many of us love our Wisconsin outdoors. Many of us love our chocolate cake, though we could probably do without it. But in the Greek language, there are a number of verbs to differentiate between varying levels or qualities of affection and attachment. It's important to realize that the word used here for God's love is a special word called agape. This Greek verb indicates a one-way, unreciprocated love coming entirely from God. You see, there are no endearing qualities in rebellious humanity that moved or influenced God. You know, we have seen the human complete depravity in Adam and Eve's refusal to live up to their sin and own it. They wanted to pass blame. Adam even blaming God, as we said, for his failure. In the garden, Adam and Eve had experienced a perfect, blissful relationship with God, which undoing was completely theirs. And through Adam and Eve, all human beings become naturally in an adversarial posture towards God and the relationship with that we have with Him. Now, Paul says, before our reconciliation with God through Christ, we were all out enemies of God. Going forward, it would not be like in human friendships where both parties bring endearing qualities into the relationship so that a mutual affection develops. No, in the Christ for us situation, which Paul is describing, all the good things originate on God's side of the ledger. For such ungodly people as us, Paul is describing, the Father sent His Son to die. That one-way love, a kind of love one can hardly find in even the faintest approximation in the human experience. What doesn't happen among people, God did. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So do you want to know if God loves you? Look at what He was willing to do for you. Give His own Son into death. When you were just weak and powerless, but more than that, an ungodly sinner, actively opposed to Him, Christ died for you, as He did for everyone. That's what God's one-way love in action. It's a love that allows Paul to say that God is a God who justifies the wicked. Smug in their own affluence, dominance, and culture, the ancient Romans spoke disparagingly of those backward primitive people of Northern Europe, nicknaming them barbarians. The Romans mocked Germanic guttural speech as just so much bar, bar, bar sounding nonsense. Hence the term barbarian. Hermann the German united those previously disparate tribes of Germany to resist Roman invasion. And in so doing, he showed the Romans a thing or two. Across the street from our Martin Luther College campus in New Ulm, Minnesota, stands a large monument to Hermann with a sculpture of him standing high on the top overlooking that very German community of New Ulm. Most importantly, as the centuries passed, God showed the furthest regions of Europe Christ for them too, as the gospel spread widely, including among Germanic tribes and Scandinavians beyond. By the middle of the last millennium, the Germans had something else to show the center of Christianity in Rome. Led by Martin Luther, Germans proclaimed a newly rediscovered truth that salvation rests solely in Christ for us, rather than salvation in any way assisted by our own works. Ironically, exactly 25 years before the beginning of that Reformation in 1517, some great world event took place. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and discovered America. And over the next hundreds of years, millions of German Lutherans would migrate to North America. A large percent of them came to homestead fertile farmland such as around here, Baraboo, Wisconsin. Two seminaries in Germany churned out hundreds of seminary graduates to chase after the Lutheran background farmers and others to gather them into congregations. The two German seminaries were in Bremen and Halle, Germany. The former was conservative. The latter, already 175 years ago, espoused less Lutheran Orthodox ideology. The three pastors who formed the Wisconsin Synod in southeastern Wisconsin in 1850 were actually of the more liberal stripe. God for us led to a German cultural ties with another German Lutheran denomination, which you might well know, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're ever indebted to them. And we did do somewhat of a payback now these last 75 years by encouraging them to be more faithful to God's word as church denomination mergers and ecumenicalism have gutted many church bodies' theology. God has blessed our wells with 1,300 outposts of the gospel in the United States and Canada. In an American culture which is quickly becoming secular, we remain well over 300,000. We have a much envied worker training program in place. If only the Lord would grant us more young men and women to train for the pastoral and teacher ministries. Maybe we could think about God withholding those candidates for the ministry to help us appreciate our pastors and teachers more and to get us to look more at our children and our grandchildren and note those who may have the gifts and the tools, the aptitude to be a pastor, to be a teacher, that we encourage them. Next Sunday, we're going to focus on what Christ has and is doing through us as a synod. What the future holds in Christ through us will take its strength from on what Christ has done and continues to do for us. To Christ be the glory. Amen. And the peace of Christ for us shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. We join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with the prayer of the church.
Pardons sin and forgives transgression, have compassion on us. We cling to you.
Your right hand upholds us.
You have reconciled us to yourself through the death of your Son, Jesus. Give us peace in your forgiveness. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. We cling to you.
Your right hand upholds us.
Your Son came to seek and to save the lost, to instruct sinners in your ways and to save them through his life, death, and resurrection. Fill us with love for the lost and move us to joy when they turn to you. We cling to you.
Your right hand upholds us.
The authorities that exist have been ordained by you. Teach us not to put our trust in mere mortals who cannot save, but trust in you as the true ruler of the nations of the earth, that we vote for leaders with a conscience instructed by our faith. We cling to you.
Your right hand upholds us.
God, our refuge and strength, keep your holy church steadfast in your word, firm in the faith, and solid in the foundation of Christ alone. We cling to you.
Your right hand upholds us.
Have mercy on those who thirst for you, who suffer want, sickness, or pain. Satisfy them in your time with the love that they may sing in the shadow of your wings. We cling to you.
Your right hand upholds us.
Hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. On this 175th anniversary of our church body, dear Lord, we thank you that you have preserved us, first of all, in the truth of your teaching. Thank you for the most important teaching, that of salvation, that pulled us away from Satan and reconciled us to you. Lord God, we see that in our short time here on earth as a church body, that you needed to send another church to pull us to proper teaching, to love your word, and to follow you. Bless us that we may be such a witness in our world. Gracious Father, have compassion on those who have wandered from you. Bind up those who are broken in heart, and strengthen those who are weak, that may we may rely on your loving care and follow your guidance to our life's end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our offering is at the door, but I believe we're going to continue with our next hymn, which is the choir anthem, O Church, Arise. So our cantor is, I believe, going to sing this song for us, and because next week you're going to sing it. You actually heard it already before the service, so pay attention.
Fight with faith.
Please rise. Bless and Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart that, being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray in your name, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for the verses 2 and 3 of Lord, We Praise You. It's a hymn by Martin Luther and reminds us to recognize the God who keeps us in his grace.
Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church of Baraboo, Wisconsin comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can also stream online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. Cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch the service at St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page and YouTube pages at 9 a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 4-year-old preschool through 8th grade. Next Sunday, Sunday, October 19th, the Lutheran Prep Singers will be participating in our service. Be sure to attend. On Saturday, October 18th, the Lutheran Women's Mission Society will be meeting at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Mauston, Wisconsin. Please contact Anne for more information at 608-434-4886. This broadcast was made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. For more information about our congregation, visit www.stjohnsbaraboo.org. The television producer is Don Harmon. This is Cindy Allen. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
This is the Synod's theme for the next few years. There's a couple more volleyball games for our kids. There's a picture retake on a Tuesday. I got to make sure I get there. Let's see, Advent by Candlelight is starting up. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society is having a rally on October 18th. That's two Saturdays from today. over in Boston. You'll love the speaker that's there. Go and check that out. Luther Prep Singers will be here on the 19th to sing for us. If you would like to contribute some pastries for the kids, we'd certainly appreciate homemade pastries. One other thing, there's a neat devotion in the back of your bulletin today, and it's about, why should I go to church?
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere.
Max FM, 99.7, Max FM.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
Forgiveness is not a formality with God. Forgiveness is formative.
In the heat of a crucible, raw material is melted down and impurities burned away. Dr. Michael Ziegler tells how failure and forgiveness form us into people of God today on the Lutheran Hour. I'm Mark Eicher, glad to be with you once again here in our 93rd season of broadcasting. The Lutheran Hour is listener-supported. To learn how your gifts and prayers help in bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. Now here is our speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler.
A cakewalk. That's what Adam had told Sam his driver's test had been. A cakewalk. Sam was still dumbfounded that they had given Adam a driver's license. The guy had the attention span of a squirrel.